This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Alwinson is our senior pastor. This sermon is part one in our Purpose-Driven Life series and is called, What on Earth Am I Here For? Now here's Pete with today's message.
That really is a prayer as we begin this 40 days of purpose. I so appreciate you guys leading us in worship today and getting our minds focused on looking to the Lord to lead us into His purposes and His ways. If you've got that outline, take it out right now. 40 days of purpose. We'll be trying to stick as close to that as we can. The scriptures will be on that piece of paper and up there. And let me tell you a couple of things. This series in the 40 days of purpose is really, you know, normally at Willow Creek Church, we teach through individual books of the Bible. We preach through a whole book, teach through a whole book. But this is going to be a topical study as we look at different scriptures that hang together around the topics of leading us into God's purposes. So it's a topical study for the next this week and next 5 weeks. And really, this, you know, it's amazing. Everything that's in this 40 days of purpose provided the foundation for this church as we got a start 18 years ago. There is nothing absolutely in a pristine way, brand new. If you've been here that long, and some of you have, this is not brand new. But God has been using Rick Warren from Saddleback Community Church in an amazing way to revitalize these teachings and these principles and to make them come alive. Some good things do come out of California. And this is you know, this movement of a purpose-driven life is a wonderful thing. Henry Blackaby said some years ago, find out what God is doing and get in line. And as we have looked at this as leaders of this church, as I've read this book, as you have read this book, many of us have come to the conclusion, God is at work. And we want to be in line with Him. Some of you are brand new Christians, this will be a great start for you. Some of you have been Christians since the Apostle Paul, and this will be a good review for you. Philippians 3:1, and this is not on your outline. Philippians 3:1 says, I write the same things to you again. It is a safeguard for you. And so Paul says, I don't even make an apology that I'm repeating the basics, because we need them. I need them. I need this, and I'm looking forward to going through this whole thing with you. It makes sense to invest in understanding the purpose of your life, doesn't it? Just makes sense, so we're going to do it. Now, today we're going to look at the three greatest questions that people ask. Very important questions, so let's jump in. The first one, of course, is the question of existence. Why am I on this planet? The second great question, the question of significance. Does my life matter? I mean, does your life matter? And then the third one is the question of intention. What is my purpose? Let's jump in. The question of existence, why am I alive? Why are you alive? That's not exactly a new question, is it? It's been around for thousands of years. In fact, the urge of every person almost that has ever lived is, why am I alive? Why am I here? Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20:18, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow to end my life in disgrace? Do you ever feel that way? The bumper sticker, life stinks and then you die. I've seen that a million times, and you've had those days where you walk up and you go, yeah, no, that's truth. It just feels so bad. Was I only born? Were you only born for trouble and difficulty and struggle and pain and problems? Arthur Ashley Brilliant says this, my life is a superb cast, but I can't figure out the plot. Jack Hanley said, I hope life isn't a joke, because I don't get it. Dr. Hugh Moorhead is the chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Northwestern University. And he wrote 250 leading philosophers, writers, and scholars, and asked them to send him an article on what is the purpose of life. And so they did, and they sent them all back to him. And it was, and then he wrote a book. and it was really depressing. Some of the people offered their best guesses. And some of these scholars said, well, this is what I think is the purpose of life. Some admitted, I don't know. Some said, Dr. Moorhead, if you figure it out, let me know. And others said, you know, I have a purpose for life, but I made it up. And that's scary. Some of the most brilliant minds in our country, you don't have a clue, really. Carl Jung, the famous psychiatrist, said, I don't know the meaning, the purpose of life, but it looks as if it does have meaning. It's true. It does look that way, doesn't it? You look to me like you have meaning. This world, the cycles of creation, the cycles of the year, there's so much about this world that makes me think that there is meaning. Isaac Asimov wrote, as far as I can see, there's no purpose. And then Joseph Taylor wrote a book entitled, I Have No Answer to the Meaning of Life, and I No Longer Want to Search for Any. That's the name of his book. And if you've been around 30 or 40 or 50 or more years, you may be in that category. I've met an enormous number of people who no longer look for the meaning of life. Some of you say, I'm still looking, but a lot of people have just given up. They don't care anymore. And that's tragic. I mean, it is so tragic. That's why, look at the suicide rate in America. It's up. It's the number two killer among teenagers still. And I will never forget, it wasn't that long ago, 11th grade. Because it was in, it really wasn't. It was in 11th grade that I remember one day, I'd come back from church, and I was thinking, all right, there's smarter guys, better looking guys, more athletic guys, why am I here? And I remember thinking, I am redundant. And I was depressed. But it was at that point that God spoke to me in a still small voice saying, there's a reason you're here. I put you here, and I'm going to show you your purpose. Some of you watched the TV show of that great theologian, Oprah Winfrey, and she was on one of her shows. It had been billed as the purpose for the meaning of life, and so everybody was tuning in for this, the purpose for the meaning of life. And as she goes through the show, she never quite got to, every time there was a commercial timeout, she said, now come back, because we're going to talk about the purpose of life, meaning of life. And it went through the show that way, and you finally get to the end, and the credits are rolling. She still hadn't said anything, and she says, now remember, the purpose, for the purpose of your life, you got to look within. Thanks, Oprah. I mean, come on. I watched you for this hour to find it out, and I didn't get it, you know. And so the question is, what is the purpose of life? There are different approaches you can take to determine the purpose of life. There's the philosophical approach. The philosophical approach. And in the philosophical approach, there are several subcategories there. In the philosophical approach, the survivalist says, you just got to live. You just got to get through. You got to survive. That's your purpose. Just carry on, carry on, carry on. Then there's the naturalist view. And another great modern thinker, Ice-T, put it this way. He said, the only reason we're here is to reproduce. Just chill out and reproduce. Keep the species alive. Makes you want to get out of bed in the morning or back in or whatever. I don't know what. But the reality is that's what a lot of people think. Just to survive, to reproduce, to keep. That's the naturalist approach. And the hedonist approach is the approach of just have fun. Life's a party. Remember that bumper sticker that came out years ago, Life's a Beach? I'll never forget. I saw a million of them. I turned to Karen one day. We're driving. And I said, Karen, what's that mean? I didn't get it. It just means, but our view of life is party. Oh, that's what it means. There's the philosophical approach. Then there's the mystical approach. The mystical approach is kind of that Oprah Winfrey look. You got to look inside. You look inside and you will find the meaning of life. I didn't find it there, but the materialist approach says this. Life is all about stuff. Right? And you've seen that sign that says, he who wins with the most toys, or he who dies with the most toys, still dies. Still dies. Material, that doesn't give you a purpose for life. You still die. doesn't explain the answer, why are you here? The mystical approach, look within. The philosophical approach. And then there is the self-help approach. Now, don't raise your hand. But I would love to know how many of you have bought a self-help, don't raise your hand, self-help book in the last 6 months and are reading it maybe right now. I'm reading one right now. And it's good, and they're all the same. All of these self-help books are all the same. They're good, they're motivating, they're encouraging, but they are all the same. And they all run like this. To find the purpose for your life, the self-help way is look inside and look what you really deeply desire. What are your deepest inner dreams? What do you want more than anything else? Make a list of those things. Then set some goals. Set some goals. Does this sound familiar? Set some goals to get those things, because if you don't ever set a goal, you'll never reach your dreams. And then get other people to help you. And if it's a Christian self-help book, they'll say, pray and ask God to help you achieve your goals. But that's the self-help approach. And if you follow those steps, let me tell you this, you will become a success. Those guys didn't write those books for no reason at all. They write them because they work. Look what you really want inside. Set goals. Go after them with all you got. Get people to help you. And you'll become a success. The problem is that there are so many people who become successes who are still saying, I'm not happy. Why am I here? Why are we finding more and more of those statements in books that we're reading today about that? I'm still not happy. You can be a raving success and still not know the purpose of your life. Why does God want us here? Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for His own purpose. It's His own purpose that He creates everything, and God has never made anything without a purpose. Catch me on this. A rock, a tree, a plant, a person. You never do anything without a person, even though it might be warped sometime. Have you ever done something and said, why did I do that? I know, me too. There's a reason. There was a motivating factor, anger, fear, frustration, something. And if you do things because of a purpose, God even more. He never creates anything without a purpose. Does God have a purpose for you? Is your heart still beating? God has a purpose for you. He wouldn't put you here if He didn't. Now, in the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at the five purposes, actually, that God has given for all of us. My mentor, Steve Brown, often says, if you think you know what God is doing, it's probably not that. And he says that because so often, we try to make God do what we want Him to do. But when God reveals His purposes for us, we'd better take Him seriously. Because He's telling us straight out. Today, we're not going to look at those five. We're not even going to start looking at those five purposes. We want to look at God's motive for putting us here on earth. Ephesians 1:4 says, long before... Why don't you read this with me, okay? Here we go. Long before He laid down the earth's foundation, He had us in His mind and settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. If you don't get anything else from this whole series that we do, I want you to understand God created you to love you. God created you to love you. Now, if you've been here a long time, you've heard me say over and over again, I'm a Presbyterian. I believe in the sovereignty of God, and what the Bible tells us about God is this. God is completely self-sufficient. God has no needs. He has no lack. He has no need of anything outside Himself, because if He did, He would not be God. He didn't create you because He was lonely. He didn't create you because He was bored and just needed to see His kids running around in front of Him doing all kinds of crazy things. Hey, look at that. That's pretty funny. He'd do that. He didn't have any. He created you for a purpose. He is love, and he wants to love. So you were created to be loved by God. And before we can talk about anything else, the question of our existence, why am I alive, is this. The answer is this: to be loved by God. Write that down, because you need to keep that in mind. I need to keep that in mind. I've talked to some of the most hard-boiled businessmen you could ever imagine. I sit across the table with these guys, I get to know them, and man, I can't believe some of the decisions they make, and they're tough, but every one of them wants to be loved. They want friendship. They want to be loved. All of us want to be loved. And so the first question is the question of existence. Why am I alive? That God would love us. The second key question of life is the question of significance. Does my life matter? Does my life, your life, do you have any significance? And Isaiah 49:4 said, "My work all seems so useless. I've spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose at all." You may notice that as we're looking at these different scriptures, we're looking at different translations of the Bible. Today's English Version, the New International, and they bring out these nuances of meaning which are so helpful. Does your life have any significance? During World War II, there was one point when the Allies were finally advancing on Germany, and they were beginning their bombing runs in Germany. And actually, they had pushed even as far as Hungary. The Allies had bombed a factory that was inside of a concentration camp, and these prisoners were processing, and in that factory, human waste. It was a human waste processing plant, and that place was absolutely destroyed. So the day after the bombing, the Nazi guards took the people who were incarcerated, took them all and said, "Bring all of that rubble and move it over into that end of the field." And they did that all day. They spent all day moving that. The next day, they came out to them and said, "Now, we want you to move all of that stuff and move it back over here." On the third day, they said, "Now, we want you to take all of that stuff and move it from here back to there." And on the fourth day, I can't tell you, they were suicidal. Many of these people were throwing themselves in front of the Nazi guards, hoping they would be bayoneted or shot. Because if you don't have purpose in life, it can lead to craziness. We were made to have purpose and to know why we are to live. Now, there's three levels of living, different levels that we can live at as we try to pursue our own significance. The first level of living is survival level. Some of you are, most of you are beyond that level, but some of you are there. You're just trying to get by every day. Life is hard, life is rough, and you're just trying to get by every day. You're at the survival level. Some of you are at the success level. Most of us in this room are at the success level. Look around. And I don't want our elders to listen in on this, but you know, I have more than I ever thought I would have. It doesn't mean I want you to adjust my salary. They take care of me. They take care of our staff, and that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? By the world standards, I'm rich. So are you. We have so much. I remember when Joel and I went to Mexico and on a missions trip together, and it was amazing. The places we went, and I can't believe people live like that. You've been there too, many of you. We're rich by the world standards, and we're living at the success level. But we are still not, so many of us, really understanding. We're still not happy. People are still saying, "I got it all, but I'm not happy." You have prestige, you have influence, but that's not enough. And so there's another level. It's the significance level. And that is the level that we need to live at if we're going to find satisfaction in our hearts. Not just the success level, but our world tells us to live at the success level. The Bible says there's another level. How do we get to this sense of significance? Well, there's three things. If you know the meaning of life, that will give you significance. If you know you are absolutely loved, that will give you significance. And if you know God's purposes for your life, that will give you a sense of significance. Isaiah 44, 2. Do you have that there? All right, let's read that together. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. God was thinking about you. Now listen to me. God was thinking about you as he was thinking you up. He was loving you as he was thinking you up in eternity past. He was thinking great thoughts about you. You're talking about God. You scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. That's an amazing thing. I read Gordon MacDonald's biography recently, and it's a very good book. And in it, he's talking about how when he was in high school, when he was in high school and made the track team, his coach met him the first day of track practice after he'd made the team, and he said, "MacDonald, I want you to sit down and look at this." And the coach, after he had made the team, made up a plan for every day of his life for the next 3 years. And he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed because every day the coach had sketched out what his practice was to be. How many laps he was to run, how many bleachers he was to run, how many miles of cross country he was to run, and what was the next contest he was to enter, and what he hoped that he would win, and how he would place for the next 3 years. It was all his life was mapped out by somebody else. The amazing thing is God knows our lives, has planned it out. Are you loved? Does he want you around? You better believe it. He's planning on keeping you with him for eternity. He wants you with him. The good, the bad. You know, I got here this morning, and when I get here, Jeff's already been here going over with the worship team. And I said, "Jeff, how is it going?" And I always want to hear, "It's going great. Worship's going to be dynamite." He said to me, "The piano doesn't work this morning." And he told me what he told you, that this light had fallen down, crashed all in the piano. And so when you play the piano, it sounds like little pieces of glass just bouncing around. The good, the bad, God's in it. And so we got this thing up here and he played it and it was good. The good, the bad, the ugly of your life, God can be in it. He's not playing games with us. Look at this text. His plans endure, what does it say? Forever. God's plans endure forever. And here's the key thing about that is so important. As we enter the 40 days of purpose and look at these five purposes for our lives, what God is teaching you and me now is not stuff that's going to happen in our lives only for the 60, 70, 80, 90 years of our life. And yes, it was my birthday, and last week they sang happy birthday in my first service. Yes, I become 50. And I hope I live a little bit longer. Somebody gave me a birthday card this week, and it was unsigned. And it said on the front, "A special message to you from God." And you open it up on the inside, and it said, "I'll be seeing you very soon." Happy birthday. I hope, frankly, whoever gave it to me gets the fever and die. I want to be around a little bit longer than that. But all of this stuff, there's a sense in which God is preparing all of this for us for eternity. And now we're kind of in kindergarten or preschool. We're practicing for eternity. This is not irrelevant stuff that God's going to teach us. It's who we are, who we were made to be, and who we will be throughout eternity. And so this is very, very practical. Psalm 33:11, his purposes last eternally. Write this down. God says, "I was made to last forever." And you're going to find the purposes for your life in a self-help book. 2 Corinthians 5:1, I love this. "When this tent we live in, our body here on earth is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home he himself has made, which will last forever." When we die, Our body goes into the ground. But he's got plans for a new body for us. And that body will last for all eternity in a new heaven and a new earth, so that what he started out with in the Garden of Eden would finally be brought to its fulfillment on earth. And these purposes are going to last forever. So the question of existence, why am I alive? You are alive to be loved by God. Does my life matter? Is the question of significance? Absolutely. You're going to be with God for eternity. He wants you around that long. If you and I were to take a piece of yarn to peg it in downtown Orlando and run it all the way to New York and measure a millimeter of it, it wouldn't even come. We can't even compare to how long eternity is. You're going to be living most of your life in eternity. This is just the training ground for it. That's why all these things really, really matter. The third question then is the question of intention. What is my purpose? Why are you here? Psalm 89:47, David asked the question, why did you create us? For nothing? Why did you create us? For nothing? Bertrand Russell, the atheist British philosopher who wrote a book, Why I Am Not a Christian, said this. He was intellectually very, very honest, because he said this: unless you assume the existence of God, life has no meaning. That's true, isn't it? Unless you assume the existence of God, life has no meaning, because if you are a chance product of the universe, if you're some primordial pond scum, if you're just a chance organism in the universe, no purpose, no designer, no design, you don't really matter. There's no purpose for your life. Guys, Have you ever broken something because you forgot to read or wouldn't read the instructions? You played with it, you jiggled with it. Have you ever broken something you weren't even sure what it was? You didn't read the instructions. Yeah, I know. I so many smiles out there. I love it. Me too. We abuse things partly because we don't even know what they are for or what they are. Why are so many people abused in this world by other people? Partly because they don't understand that people are made in the image of God and therefore precious. And so we abuse people because we don't care about people. They don't mean anything to us. Why do we abuse ourselves? Because we don't know who we are. And we don't realize that we have great importance in this life. And so here's the thing I want to bring up. And that is, if we're going to know our own purpose and worth, and if there is something for us, we've got to talk to the one who created us, right? We've got to read the instructions. We've got to talk to the Creator, that we can understand what we are about. So many of us just listen to what other people say about us. So many of you are still listening to the tapes of early childhood experience where a father or a mother said something to you about who you are and it stuck. They said you were worthless and you still believe it. Or it was a boss that said you can't get anything right. And so you think, you're right, I can't get anything right. You got to go back to the one who made you to hear what you are really all about. I got to give a report. Last week I told you in church that I was going to Atlanta to tape this TV thing with Day One. It's in the Hallmark Channel. And they got 10 of us religious types. And you say, how did you get there? And I'll tell you, it's totally a coattails thing. They asked Steve Brown. He said no, but asked Pete. They called me. I totally understand that the only reason I'm there is because Steve